But out of nowhere, basically just announced that she is stepping down, and then we saw a minor power struggle, although it doesn't seem to be much of a power struggle. But I'd like to get your take on number one with Pivoweed out of nowhere. Here we are, mid-session. She just won re-election in November, suddenly stepping down, and then also Dominic Ruggiero now becoming the Senate president.
Well, with Senator Pivoweed stepping down, obviously you've probably heard the similar suggestions I have that she wants to get her year out of government so that she can come back and be appointed a judge as the career path of a Senate president.
That's right.
And so that's kind of my view of Senator Pivoweed is that she hasn't really been ideological. She hasn't been terrible as far as Rhode Island legislators go, but she's mainly been there kind of going through the ropes. It's been kind of nice, especially for your audience on East Bay now, that there was somebody in leadership in Rhode Island who was not from the Providence Ring.
Yes.
And that's going to be a lack, especially if concepts like tolls come back into the picture. But I don't know that we'll see all that much of a change of the tone up there. When Pivoweed was first elevated, or whatever the term would be, to Senate president, a lot of people suggested that her leadership team was probably doing much of the actual leadership in the background. So I was actually a little surprised that Ruggiero wanted to be the point person now rather than just kind of run things behind the scenes.
I agree. It was interesting because a lot of people regarded that he was, in fact, just kind of pulling the strings on the whole thing. You know, Justin, you bring up it's an interesting dynamic. I think most people, if we ask them in Rhode Island, what's really the difference between the House reps and the state Senate? But it was years ago, one of the people, I won't say who it was, but he happened to be the Speaker of the House, he said it's very simple. We control the budget, and they pick the judges. That's as simple as it goes. Montalbano became a judge. Obviously, Bill Irons was not an attorney. He was the insurance guy that got jammed up. Otherwise, I'm sure he would love to have been a judge. But I think you're exactly right, and we can see through. There's always something odd when someone immediately suddenly announces their resignation. There's some job in the works. But I agree with you. At some point, she will then just get her turn. She'll go through. She said she'll follow the proper procedure. But what do you make of the dynamic of now? Because let's face it, the governor and Speaker Mattiello, they are not on the same page at all. Mattiello and Pivoweed, there was no love there at all. If you notice, there wasn't even a press release from Mattiello saying good luck or anything, wishing her well, which is highly unusual. But what do you make of the new dynamic now of, regardless of what people think of him, Senate President Dominic Ruggiero, he's a very serious guy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's if you break up the Rhode Island Democrats into different factions, he's certainly in the labor faction. So I suspect he'll be pulling Governor Raimondo more toward that faction to the degree that it's separate from the progressive faction. I found it difficult to get a real read on Pivoweed in my years of watching. I mean, she's Catholic. She would show up at hearings on Ash Wednesday with the marks on her forehead. Yet, you know, she was somewhat regarded as progressive. There were no real pro-life stands, no same-sex marriage passed, no school choice leadership on her part. And she was also behind the 30-50, the tax cap that caps municipal tax increases to 4%. Although I've always pointed out that that's more of a target, and sometimes leaders in the municipalities see that as, oh, we can increase up to 4% with no problem now. So it seemed like a big taxpayer relief program, but I don't know that it was so much. I mean, a Rhode Island statewide coalition backed it back in the day. But I've always found it hard to get a read on Pivoweed. So I wonder if a lot of the whatever animosity or friendships there were in the background were more of a personal thing, and somebody didn't come through on some promise. Like we had that surprise, was it two sessions ago where they just kind of ended
yes.
in the middle of the night?
Yeah.
And so I think any animosity is probably much more having to do with that kind of thing than political stuff or personal stuff than, you know, real ideology or differences of opinion about how the insider should divide up all our money.
People should also understand Dominic Ruggiero, first and foremost, he was number two at Labor's. It's not as if there's union influence. He is the union. And at the same time, I mean, you have Governor Raimondo, who is still seemingly following this progressive agenda. We're going to talk about the TV commercial in just a second. Some dynamic had to change. But I just wonder, You know, Ruggiero is all about that 195 land. He is all about getting the laborers back to work. He's obviously tight with Sabatini. They run the laborers. They're in with Raimondo. Ruggiero, I mean, if anything, he is not someone who is going to be sitting down listening to Aaron Ruggenberg and some of the progressives go through their list of the, you know, their pink hat demands. This guy, first and foremost, he's a union guy, but he's a business guy. And so it is a different dynamic with him and Mattiello. I think they may have more in common than what Paiva Weed and Mattiello had in common.
Oh, they may very well. Part of the difficulty in assessing that is Ruggiero has been extremely quiet. I mean, almost unless he's being arrested for a DUI, you almost never hear about him.
Never.
So it's hard to know, even spending quite a bit of time at the State House in the past 5 years or so, to what the dynamic between him and Mattiello might be. They would on the surface seem to be very similar kind of characters, but that may prove to be false as the chips come out.
Let me also tell you about, and again, folks, we're speaking with Justin Katz, managing editor, OceanStateCurrent.com. Justin, but just so people understand, Dominic Ruggiero, Senate president now, the type of guy he is, this just broke, I saw just within the past 2 hours. Senate Daniel DePonte has been removed from his post as chairman of the Senate Finance Committee by the new Senate president. DePonte says his reason, he called other senators to gauge support for the majority leader. As a result of that, Ruggiero sends a message. You want to come after me, the godfather? Boom. You better take out the kings. Otherwise, you are gone. DePonte actually made a few phone calls to see whether or not he might have the votes to be the majority leader. Or obviously, he did something to get on Ruggiero's wrong side. And in a moment's notice, boom, he makes an example of him and he's gone.
Well, that's somewhat similar to Speaker Mattiello last year,
yes,
knocking people out of their seats. Yeah, I guess, you know, you move quickly and nobody quite, you don't have to let the person settle in under you. Maybe it's certainly a message. We're real good at sending messages in,
yes,
Rhode Island politics.
Yeah. Now, Justin, let me also ask you, this was interesting. Just in the past week, these commercials started popping up on television, and they were touting Governor Raimondo, and they were saying, support the plan. And it all had to do with her plan on free in-state tuition. Now, what people should understand is, number one, obviously she's up for re-election next year. Number two, this isn't a jobs commercial. There's so many different themes that could have been picked. This is just her area that somehow she picked out her item. This is wildly important to her as a priority. She's trying to frame herself with this. With the progressives, this was a Bernie Sanders thing, and suddenly they're running commercials, you know, support the plan, when it's very obvious that her and the speaker are not on the same page as on this issue.
Well, yeah, as we discussed, I think it was last week, you know, the speaker is really focused hyper-local in his own district and getting reelected, whereas her eyes are national. I mean, the Democrat Governors Association, which ran this ad for her, they've out of 50 states, they've got 16 governors. So they've probably got some money to throw around to support the ones they do have. What struck me, though, is that it's just all of the images in this video are people learning or people doing things. And it's their achievements. And this goes back to the whole government giving tuition to students. She's taking credit for the achievements of the students who will go to college on this thing. It's not their achievements anymore. It's government's, because government is giving them that. It's the, you didn't build that. And that's the message that the Democrats have been building under Obama, and they're continuing doubling down with, amped up to the socialist level with the Bernie Sanders message. But it's clear and conspicuous that she picked this issue. Suddenly it's a desperate need for Rhode Island, when really it looks more like something that the Democrats want to look at nationally, and that's why she's on board with it.
Justin, you know what else I find interesting is we had talked about, and folks, so there was a no-bid contract that the state police gave to this man that supposedly is an expert regarding diversity. And it was a no bid the state police put out for no particular reason for $225,000. He is tied into a Chicago Democrat fundraiser. And all of a sudden, after this $225,000 is given to do this diversity study in a no bid process, out of nowhere, the Chicago Tribune editorial board comes out with an editorial, "What Struggling Illinois Should Learn from Fellow Blue State Rhode Island Success." And what's it an editorial about? Governor Gina Raimondo and what a tremendous job she's doing. And Time Magazine called Rhode Island the little state that could, and all these incredible achievements. Now, I'd like to hear your thoughts on this, but Justin, to me, this is another example of Team Raimondo, where I think there is actually some kind of a money trail here, even though she said, oh, I didn't even know that the person that donated the money to me was connected to the person that got the no-bid contract. She's obviously tapped out, she's had a lot of exposure with New York in donations. She's made many trips out to Silicon Valley. There's a lot of money in Chicago. Chicago is an area that if you could get in there, get some of those donors, obviously third largest city in the country behind Los Angeles. Chicago's an interesting play that the governor's trying to make inroads in as far as fundraising, because to me, the Chicago Tribune editorial, this is all about fundraising. This doesn't help us in any way. I don't think it helps any jobs. All it's designed to do is help Raimondo with some of those Chicago Democrat fundraisers.
Oh yeah, well, no doubt. It's if you could, you know, you ever see one of those things where you have two paints that are different, and you put a stick between them, and they look the same because your eye, you know, like a children's museum would have these kind of things.
Yes.
I've been imagining that with Raimondo, if you looked at the state level and at the national level, it's almost like they're describing two different people. It's real. If you read the Chicago Tribune editorial, it's like fiction. Employment, they tout our employment, but it's because people are running out of the labor force. They tout all these big companies coming to the state, but that's because we're paying them off. They tout the pension reform, which is proving not to be a reform. It's going to crash, I think, within the next 5 years or so. So there's this false image going around of Governor Raimondo, and she's using every agency, like we saw with the state police, to further her own political ends.
Folks, again, it's John DePietro on the line with us, is managing editor at OceanStateCurrent.com, Justin Katz. And Justin, finally, I thought it was kind of comical yesterday. Jeff Sessions, the attorney general, he issued a response saying that they are going to start to really crack down on these sanctuary cities as far as funding, as far as grants. And it was an interesting dance that Dan McGowan laid out. We're in the city of Providence. Mayor Lors is trying to say, we're a sanctuary city, but we follow federal law. I mean, it's kind of reminiscent to me of, yes, I smoke, but I didn't inhale. It depends on what the definition of is. How can you say you're a sanctuary city, but you're following federal law? It's one or the other.
Yeah, I love that the Mayor Lorza with the we're a sanctuary city, but it's kind of a vague term. You know, it's sort of like we've got a giant P as our symbol. You know, it's sort of the same thing. We're a sanctuary city. It's like a tagline, trademark on the side of it, but it doesn't really mean anything.
Right.
What I hope happens, irrespective of the immigration issue, is that the Trump administration comes down on these cities and either brings them to heel or forces them to go to their own budgets, and from that, progressives learn that using federal government money to get local policy is a bad idea. I mean, that's the real issue here, is that the federal government gives us money and ropes you in. And the reality is if the mayor doesn't like it, you know what? Don't build your budget. And this goes for the state level, too. Don't build your budget around federal money.
That's right.
Then you know what? Then we're free.
Yes.
Your constituencies locally are free to pursue the policies that they want, whether they're progressive or conservative, which is to say whether they're dumb or good ideas. Then you're free to do them, and you don't have to rely on the federal government and worry about, oh, no, a president has come in who disagrees with this particular thing. But the dance of, oh, it doesn't mean anything. I think Alorza's voters should take that as a message to them. I'm willing to say these words, but, you know, when the chips are down, I'm going to do the little dance and do what I'm told to do.
Hey, Justin, one last thing before we let you go. What was your take on the fact that Saturday we had the Trump supporters rally at the State House, and you have the anti-Trump people that feel their version of freedom of speech is you bang drums, play loud music to try to drown out people that are giving a speech?
Yeah, this is something I'm actually getting somewhat concerned about. I mean, if you look at Middlebury College, where they shouted down economist Charles Murray saying he was spewing hate speech and whatever, and his speech, they said, was essentially like an assault, so it's okay to shut him down because it's not really speech. Yet when they're sitting there banging drums so that nobody can hear each other, that's just speech. That's our right to free speech. And you know, I think the right conservatives need to come up with some kind of a solution to this, because it's only going to continue. We saw it a week or two ago when a mob escorted by the police went to Representative David Culkin's house in Pawtucket over
yes,
the immigration issue.
That's right.
And just went there in the 8 or 9 in the morning on a Saturday and made all kinds of noise. And they left signs on his front steps, some of them which were calling him dream killer. I mean, that's kind of a threatening thing. You're one or two steps away from burning crosses on people's front yards.
You're right.
And that's, so we on the right really have to come up with some strategy, because when you shout at them, it doesn't really stop them. It encourages them. And plus, that allows the news media to start going, oh, well, it's just two sides just doing their thing. Whereas if we could come up with some clever strategy, and I know we can do it because we're smarter than they are, but some clever strategy to kind of put them, show them for what they are, I think that's what will shut this kind of thing down really quickly. Maybe, you know, have nice quiet events out in the public where people actually want to be doing things and avoid the state house in the future. But it's horrible. And the idea that there's no real protection when your opposition from either the government or from the rest of society, when these loudmouths take it upon themselves just to ignore civil rules and allow everybody to have their say, that's disturbing, that everybody's just kind of so passe about it.
You know, before I let you go, I got to admit, I've done a lot of rallies. I was even taken aback at their approach. When I heard, well, they're going to have their rally, I thought it's many times if you go to London on Sundays, you can walk around and people are just like giving speeches out in the park. I forget exactly where it is. But I thought that they would be on one section, and if you wanted, you could go and listen to their speeches against Trump, and then you could wander over to our side where you'd hear speeches in favor of supporting the president. What really struck me was the crowd booing the national anthem and then just refusing to silence in any way. To me, freedom of speech does not mean you bang on drums and blow horns to drown out the other side. But I have to admit, even I was taken aback at their tactics. Folks, he's the managing editor at OceanStateCurrent.com. He's Justin Katz. We talk to him every Tuesday for the State House Report. Justin, great job, and we'll talk to you again.
Thanks, John.
All right. Folks, it's John DePietro on this Tuesday. We're going to speak with Mayor Fung coming up next hour. We'll take more of your phone calls at 846-1028. And also, if Richard Fuca is listening, it sounds like it is going to be a big day, as President Trump is going to roll back a lot of these global warming issues where we could see a real boom for the Rhode Island commercial fishing industry. And when you think of fresh fish, how many people are thinking what I'm thinking? Top of the Bay restaurant, Top of the Bay, delicious, fresh seafood. You're going to love Top of the Bay. How about Eli has brought back his lunch package deal. You start with hot clam cakes and chowder, a choice of lunch entree, coffee, dessert, just $11.95. Choose an entree like chicken or veal parm, steak tips over rice, fish and chips, baked scrod, and more, just $11.95. For lunch, a glass of house wine is $3.99. Martini Manhattan, $4.99. The lunch special, Tuesday through Saturday, 11:30 to 4 at Top of the Bay. And for dinner, all day Sunday and Tuesday through Thursday, the full course deal at Top of the Bay. Choice of appetizer, glass of house wine or domestic beer, hot soup, fresh salad, entree, and dessert, starting at just $18.95. Baked scrod, chicken marsala, baked stuffed shrimp, steaks, and more. Your choice, $18.95. Top of the Bay is a perfect place for a family gathering or a celebration. Call Eli, 921-3663. You're going to love it. It's family-friendly, and there's something on the menu for everyone. I love the baked scrod. You're going to love the clam cakes and chowder, swordfish, baked stuffed shrimp, prime rib, all waiting for you at Top of the Bay. And what a location, folks. Right by the water, Oakland Beach and Warwick. You just take West Shore Road, follow the signs down, and there you are, the oasis by the sea. But it's Top of the Bay Restaurant in Warwick. It's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. We're going to come back. We'll take more of your phone calls. You can call in 846-1028.
Sound of Irish music can be heard Sunday mornings at 8 on 1540 AM WADK and WADK.com. The Irish Hour is brought to you by the LaForge Casino Restaurant and Ireland Calls. Be part of an Irish music tradition. Listen to the Irish Hour, Sunday mornings at 8.
You know I gotta do this. Yesterday I talked about red Swiss chard, how beautiful they are. But one thing I forgot to mention, I'm gonna do a whole tip on this, is the color of rainbow Swiss chard. There's Swiss chard out there that has yellow, purple, red, white, and different shades of this color in one bunch. They look absolutely beautiful. I'm telling you, I bought some the other day. I sautéed them with some extra virgin olive oil. I added some tomatoes, some salt and pepper to them. And my guest looked at this bunch of Swiss chard that's all cooked up and said, "This is fantastic." When you buy the Swiss chard, you want to make sure when you buy the wonderful rainbow Swiss chard that all the colors are bright and beautiful, free from any yellowing whatsoever. When you bring them home, in the refrigerator right away, and not only do they look beautiful, but the nutritional value is out of this world. I'm Tony Tantillo, your fresh grocer.
It's where you live, a New England home.
Right.
Give it a look, that's all it's own.
Here we go.
Garage headquarters, 877-62-GARAGE.
Your number one overhead door authority, Garage Headquarters, your source, increasing the value of your home. Folks, they're going to make your home great again. Whether it be for your home or your business, remember, they deliver the fastest local service. Call by noon for service today or it's free. And backed by the best door price guarantee, you can't buy a better door for a better price. Garage Headquarters is the leader, the number one. Call them today. This is more about doors. This is more selection, best door price value, online, garageheadquarters.com.
Headquarters, 877-62-GARAGE.
Well, it's simple. When you have better technicians, more warehouses, and more trucks on the road than any other company in Rhode Island and southeastern Mass, when you want a door that matches the architecture of a house, when you need that garage door service for your home or business, you don't deal with the big box stores that are overpriced and use subcontractors. You go with the professionals. Since 1973, Team Grace. Call them today. Make your home great again. 877-62-GARAGE. Increase the value of your home. Hey, also better insulation. Your home's going to be warmer with an investment-grade door.
Garage Headquarters, 877-62-GARAGE.
The most entertaining show on your radio. John DePietro on 1540 WADK.
And we're back on this Tuesday. Good afternoon, one and all. This is John DePietro with you. Afternoons now, 1 to 5. Here I am, AM 1540, and it's WADK. Well, you can call in. First-time callers are welcome. We're going to talk to Cranston Mayor Alan Fung coming up next hour. I commend him on the panhandling ordinance. I believe we're going to speak with Dr. Finocchio regarding this terrible story about the pug. You see that? I don't know what to make of that story, but I know there is an investigation that is going on. And we'll take your phone calls. We'll kind of open things up, folks. We like to open things up. So, you know, earlier Richard Fuca called in. If he, someone from the National Commercial Fishermen want to call in, we can talk about that. If you're still upset about the anti-Trump protesters, we can certainly talk about that and various other things that are in the news. Again, it's I like to keep the program flowing, free-flowing, your topic. That's what we're here for, 846-1028. What I referred to with Justin Katz is this was a joke, but yesterday Dan McGowan, WPRI.com, he had a story. U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions said Monday, the Justice Department will begin withholding grants to so-called sanctuary cities, a plan that could result in Providence losing out on more than $600,000 a year. Eyewitness News, Providence received $2.7 million Justice Department grants in a three-year period, and the city refuses to hold undocumented immigrants for an extended period of time while ICE secures a warrant. But in the middle of that, Mayor Alorza has declared he considers Providence a sanctuary city, but he also maintains the city fully complies with federal law. Now, how is that possible when it comes to immigration issues, including entering the fingerprints of anyone who's arrested into a database that's monitored by ICE? You can't have it both ways. You can either, you are a sanctuary city, Mr. Mayor, or you're not a sanctuary city. But you can't say, we're a sanctuary city, but we still want the federal money because we're complying with federal law.
But what's important are the policies, and Providence has always been a sanctuary for immigrants, and it will continue to be that way. And in nowhere are we going to change our policies.
You can't have it both ways. How about this terrible story that came out yesterday? Did you hear about this? Dog dies while being groomed at Petco in Middletown. This beautiful little pug. The Rhode Island Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals is investigating the death of a pug left at the Petco in Middletown to get his nails clipped. RSPCA President Dr. Finocchio said the body of Ollie, a 16-pound, 5- or 6-year-old pug, was sent to Tufts University, hoping they'd determine by the end of the week how he died. Finocchio said Monday evening, Ollie had his nails clipped many times at the Petco, and he said veterinary records show the dog had been in good health. Possible causes are a medical crisis or strangulation by the loop that limited his movement on the grooming table. Maybe the poor dog was strangled to death, for crying out loud. A corporate-level statement from Petco said, in part, despite public reports to the contrary, the attending vet has confirmed there's no overt evidence of trauma or neglect. We remain committed doing everything possible to help Ollie's family through this extremely difficult time. Now, if you've had a problem with the Petco in Middletown, give us a call, 846-1028. If you've ever had a problem, if you're a dog owner, do you sometimes worry about bringing your pet in for grooming? Poor little Ollie. Look at that face. I'll have to post it on Facebook. Dog dies. What a beautiful little pug. Dog dies while being groomed at the Petco in Middletown. You know, this can happen. And then what happens? I don't blame the owner. Is beyond traumatized. And so we're going to try to connect with Dr. Finocchio to find out exactly what is happening with that. But just a horrendous story. The Providence Journal has an editorial this morning politicizing the Supreme Court. Republicans asked for trouble last year when they flat out refused to consider President Obama's nomination of the qualified Merrick Garland for the Supreme Court. The Journal writes they were wrong to effectively steal the seat. Even so, it's sad to see so many Democrat senators this year, including Rhode Island's own Senator Reid, Senator Whitehouse, choosing to turn the Senate's duty of weighing Supreme Court nominations into a purely partisan exercise. One of the reasons voters choose a president to make appointments to the Supreme Court, it's traditionally been the job of the Senate to vet nominations for the court, not for politics, but to ensure the candidates qualified and basically honest. Unfortunately, the Senate has devolved into intensely polarization. Every choice that does not serve the public well. It's painfully, this is the Providence Journal editorial again this morning, folks, painfully obvious that President Trump's nomination for the open seat, Neil Gorsuch, is qualified for the job. Credible support for the federal bench by the Senate, holds a law degree from Harvard, doctorate in jurisprudence from Oxford, as in the judge on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 10th Circuit for the past 10 years, established himself fair-minded jurist who focuses on the law rather than flex his personal preferences. The American Bar Association deemed him well qualified for the Supreme Court, its highest rating. He seems to be incredibly honest, non-political, fierce advocate. And instead, Majority Leader Chuck Schumer announced he's going to oppose Gorsuch, threatening to lead a filibuster against him in the early going. 16 Democrat senators, including Rhode Island's pair, came out against him. Senator Whitehouse, I mean, that wasn't even a question and answer session. Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, that was, in my opinion, and as I said on the White House press briefing last week, with Sean Spicer, which you can read about at DePietro.com. I found Senator Whitehouse to be completely grandstanding. So these are just some of the things we're talking about. But this Petco situation, we'll find out from Dr. Finocchio. Dog dies while being groomed at Petco in Middletown. Now, again, if you've had a problem with that, if you're a dog owner, give us a call, 846-1028. I find it hard to believe that it's just, you know, it was just one situation like that. George is calling from Coventry, and he's on the John DePietro Show. Good afternoon, George.
Good afternoon, John.
Hi there, George.
Hey, John. I got to wonder if it's something to do with that breed. My aunt and uncle, who were elderly, about 5 years ago, took a pug to the one in Warwick, and they were holding the dog while it was getting its nails clipped, and it just died. And, you know, I found out. I go, hey, where's your little buddy there? And they told me the story. And this happened about, I'd say, 5 years ago. So I got to wonder if it has something to do with that breed. It sounds very coincidental.
How old? Tell us again a little bit. How old was your dog?
Well, it wasn't my dog. It was my aunt and uncle's.
Aunt and uncle's.
They're very elderly now, and this was about 5 years ago. The dog was probably about 7 or 8 years old. They went in there. They were holding the dog, they said, when the nails were being clipped, and the dog just passed away right on the table.
Huh.
So I got to wonder if it's got something to do with that breed. Maybe Dr. Finocchio can do some research or whatnot, because it sounds very coincidental that something like that would happen. And it's the same breed, same dog.
It is the same dog. That is odd. Had they brought the pug in to have his nails clipped prior to that, and maybe no problems?
You know, I don't know, but I believe that they probably have, knowing them, but I don't want to say for sure. But they were elderly, and they usually went to the same spot, and I know they would go, you know, so they probably took it to the same grooming spot. But I don't want, that's an assumption. I don't know that for a fact.
Yeah. Boy, how traumatic for your relatives, though.
Oh, it was awful. It was awful. They were elderly, and, you know, my uncle's 94, so they were in the 80s, 90s, and that was their kid, you know, that was their life. So
yes.
It was very, very traumatizing to them, yeah.
Can only imagine. So you think maybe, we'll try to find out from Dr. Finocchio. You think that maybe it is the breed?
It could be. I mean, it just sounded so coincidental that you were telling this story about a pug at a Petco in Middletown. And
yes.
I'm like, my God, that's the same thing that happened to my aunt and uncle's pug in Warwick.
Having the nails clipped.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry to hear that.
Nice to hear you back on the radio.
Thank you very much, George. And remember, each afternoon from 1 to 5 a.m.
I got to shut off my telephone every time I got a call.
All right. Thank you for the call, George. Folks, 846-1028, 846-1028. Now, again, we did reach out. I have no idea of Dr. Finocchio's schedule. But we did reach out to him, and we're going to try to find out if, in fact, we can get a hold of him. But if you have a story like that, that does seem rather unusual that, look at that. I don't know. Could it be something about the breed? I know that they are going to try to, Dr. Finocchio was quoted as saying that they're going to do an autopsy. They sent the dog up to Tufts to try to do an autopsy to find out exactly what might have happened to the poor dog. But when you see the picture of little Ollie, it's a beautiful little animal, and suddenly goes in. We don't know enough, but 5 or 6 years old, that's not even certainly not an older dog. But we're not exactly sure what happened with that, but you would think it would certainly be able to. All right, so I'm hearing he is going to call in about 10 minutes. For scheduling purposes, may want to do that right at 3 o'clock, Nick, instead of just so we have enough time to talk to him if we can. If he could join us at 3, that would be good to know. So then we'll schedule it like that. So, well, folks, good afternoon again. It is John DePietro, 846-1028. I want to remind you about K&R Auto Salvage. Call them today, 353-9200. Large facility offering used car parts. K&R will also buy junk cars and auto wrecks. Family business, close to 30 years serving their customers. K&R, or wholesale used auto parts business, guaranteed quality, and they pay you cash for your junk car. Foreign and American auto and truck parts, K&R offers 80% off retail prices with access to nationwide inventory. Call them for all major car or truck parts. K&R. Karen, they are what a tremendous family business they have. Think of this, close to 30 years serving their customers. K&R Auto Salvage, 353-9200. Your choice for wholesale used auto parts. Located 950 Smithfield Road in North Providence. Go with the leader. Go with the best. They are making auto salvage great again. But, folks, the thing about K&R Auto Salvage, they offer 80% off retail prices with access to nationwide inventory. Call them for all major car or truck parts, and K&R will pay you the highest price for your junk car. You can rely on K&R Auto Salvage. Call them 353-9200. K&R Auto Salvage. They buy junk cars, auto wrecks, family business, close to 30 years in business. That should tell you something. Guaranteed quality and warranty. Foreign American auto and truck parts. It's K&R Auto Salvage. It's John DePietro. We'll come back. More of your phone calls. I believe we're going to talk with Dr. Finocchio coming up at 3 o'clock, the latest on this little pug at the Petco in Middletown. Not exactly sure what happened, but he passed away, went to go have his nails clipped. And then I think right now we're planning on speaking with Mayor Fung coming up at 3:30, and then we'll close down with Crazy Time, brought to you by Overhead Door, and more of your phone calls at 846-1028 on the John DePietro Show.
From ABC News, tech trends, a new phone scam that could cost you big. Beware of just one ring. That's the warning from the FTC, which says scammers have begun dialing cell phones, letting it ring once, and then waiting for you to get curious and call them back. ABC News fixer Stephanie Zimmerman explains.
It showed up a couple of years ago, and now it's making a comeback. These are overseas scam artists that use auto dialers, and they're hoping that you'll be curious enough to call back. And if you do, you end up with a big international calling charge on your bill.
And sometimes when you call back, you're kept on hold, which sticks you with an even bigger charge on your bill. So what can you do?
If you're scammed, you should call your wireless carrier and ask them to remove the charge from your bill. And then you should file a complaint with the Federal Communications Commission and the Federal Trade Commission.
And these calls are often hard to spot since they often appear to be from U.S. area codes. So beware and don't call back any unfamiliar numbers. With Tech Trends, I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Many of us who compost know the additions, coffee grounds, eggshells, fruit, and veggie scraps. But dryer lint? Composting experts say yes. Composting lint from dryers is a simple task, and it can be considered brown material in your compost. Simply stick a container near your dryer and load it up each time you use the dryer. Spread the contents over the top of the file, dropping by handfuls. Moisten with water and gently mix in with a gardening tool.
Well, folks, everyone is talking about Dan's Place. Dan's Place, your place for great food in a family-friendly atmosphere, award-winning wings, delicious burgers, and the best pizza that you've ever tasted. Plus, there's always something happening at Dan's Place. Now, Monday nights, last night, they had a good crowd at Dan's Place. Trivia night follow at 6:30, followed by karaoke at 9:30. Tomorrow night, Wine Down Wednesdays, half-price bottles of wine all day. Thursdays, Mexican Day, with all your favorites. Dan's Place, 880 Victory Highway in West Greenwich, just north of exit 5A on Route 95. Now, they're easy to get to. There's a tremendous atmosphere, family-friendly, delicious food. I'll tell you, the moment you go in, you can just feel the buzz in the atmosphere at Dan's Place. Dan's Place, again, easy to get to, whether it's to watch a game, go with friends. I brought my family there just a week ago. Food, delicious, big burgers, something on the menu for everyone. How about the Wine Down Wednesdays, though? Half-price bottles of wine all day. I received a nice email from one of our listeners who said that she and two friends, they had a wonderful time at Wine Down Wednesdays. Got there in the mid-afternoon, half-price bottles of wine. Sounds like a good deal. Dan's Place, 880 Victory Highway, West Greenwich, north of exit 5A on Route 95, or online, danspizzaplace.com. Check them out on Facebook for specials and more. The crowd will be at Dan's Place.
Are you ready?
We will build a great wall.
Providence has always been a sanctuary for immigrants, and it will continue to be that way.
I want the people of Rhode Island to know we're going to keep them safe.
Illegals come to Arizona, claim Rhodey as their home. This state has gone insane. They come here because it's free here. They're on welfare. They arrive here as they drive here or by train. Alosa, he tells Trump, I'll ignore ya. Honeyville is the border.
Honeyville.
He welcomes them right through. Illegals, you come to Rhode Island.
There you go.
This little old Rhode Island is sanctuary for you. Nicaraguans come from Nicaragua. Colombians even farther. Refugees from Peru. They vote here because they live here on the south side. The 401 has become the place to go.
Thank you,
old Trump.
Island.
He wants to build his walls, maybe around Central Falls, Pawtucket and Providence too. Because illegals, you come to Rhode Island.
Because
little old Rhode Island is sanctuary for
what's
you.
Important on the policies, and Providence has always been a sanctuary.
There he is.
And it will continue to be that way.
Crooner
and
at large.
We're going to change our policies.
Tim Brooks on the John DePietro Show with that fantastic, what an incredible orchestra that you hear in the background. Folks, you hear that song exclusively right here on the John DePietro Show. You can find him on Facebook. It's Tim Brooks, Crooner at Large. And then in addition to that, that's the Mark Bedrosian Nightlife Orchestra, a full orchestra singing the big hit, Rhode Island, a Sanctuary for You. And that's what Mayor Alorza is trying to turn into. And I don't believe that that's what you want it to be. I think that... And right now, good afternoon again, folks. It's 2:48. It's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. Each afternoon from 1 to 5, we're making afternoons great again, AM 1540, and it's WADK. Well, you can call in. First-time callers are welcome. 846-1028. 846-1028. But the most important thing that I want you to take away with what I'm saying, no matter where you're listening, wherever you can hear this program on this Tuesday afternoon, whether you're in Narragansett or North Providence or Newport or Cranston or East Greenwich or North Kingstown or Middletown or Portsmouth, wherever Johnston, wherever you can hear it, if they were to take a vote, if they were actually to put it on the ballot, right, if they would never do it, but if they ever said, you know, Governor Mundo, let's put it on the ballot, how people feel about illegals and that you're going to have to pay more in taxes to support it. There's no way the people of the state would support it. I don't believe that you feel that way. There's no way. Now, Raimondo, she acts like, oh, everybody wants all these refugees and no one cares what country they're from. People just want them to come here and get things for free.
Thank you, Rhode Island.
I don't believe that's how people feel. I believe that if they put this on the ballot, I'm willing to bet it would be at least 80-20 against. And you know who would be in favor of that as far as saying that we shouldn't have to pay higher taxes? Rhode Island should not be a magnet for these lawbreakers, families, business owners, taxpayers. That's who would be in favor of saying, no, we should not be a sanctuary. Who would be in favor of it? Someone like...
You haven't read my press release and you're not listening. What
Congressman
I said.
Langevin, he would be in favor of it. There's no way. I don't believe that you would be in favor of that. And listen, based on even just the applause I got when I went after Lorza at that Trump rally the other day.
Hey, hold on. You want the election.
Yep.
Get over it.
Yeah.
Go back to your parents' basement.
Go back to your parents' basement. A lot of people like that line. That was so disrespectful. What a disgrace. And you know what else is interesting, folks? Where was the governor on this? If this had been reversed, if the illegal aliens had had some kind of a march to the Rhode Island State House and we interrupted them, oh, my God, forget about it. Are you kidding? Raimondo and Cicilline, they would have been crying like having the police arrest us for crying out loud. We ever interrupted their rally, making noise, yelling, forget about it.
Alcalde, ¿cómo está? Bueno, en su alcaldía habrá resistencia
Raimondo,
en contra de cualquier política que comprometa la seguridad
right,
de los inmigrantes.
Enough. How about the woman that was crying at the Trump rally because she saw all the Trump signs and she needed her safe space? We the people, you know, I know so many of you say, Independent Man, Juan, I'm with you, but I just can't say anything. But that's, I know the fact that you don't support their efforts, that you want to see immigration enforced. And I believe that Raimondo and Cicilline and Elorza and Langevin, they are pandering for votes. They are not doing what the people of Rhode Island want them to do.
I want the people of Rhode Island to know we're going to keep them safe.
I don't believe
and
that.
We are a welcoming, tolerant state.
How are you going to keep us safe, if you, Governor, if you're welcoming all these illegals and dangerous criminals? I disagree with it. 846-1028. Folks, it's John DePietro on this Tuesday. You know, when you talk real estate, with me, it's a no-brainer. You want to deal with Rick Moulton. Call him today, 580-1608. 580-1608. Rick Moulton, top producer at RE/MAX for 25 years and RE/MAX Hall of Fame. Flexible commissions, terminate any time if unhappy. Rick is just terrific, completely knowledgeable about all things real estate. And he's a top negotiator. He gets results for buyers and sellers when others have failed. That's why he has the reputation that I roll with Rick. Call him today. Call Rick Moulton at 580-1608. Are you one of those people that maybe for whatever reason that you're having a problem trying to sell a piece of property, or maybe that you're not getting the price that you want? You're talking about a top negotiator. He gets results for buyers and sellers when other realtors have failed. Call Rick Moulton today, 580-1608. Remember, all things real estate, whether you're buying or selling, you want to deal with the best. Rick Moulton, top producer, RE/MAX 25 years, RE/MAX Hall of Fame. That's not an accident. That's consistency. That's Rick Moulton. 580-1608. Next hour, Dr. Finocchio will join us. Mayor Fung will join us. Plus more of your phone calls, 846-1028. I'm John DePietro.
Hi, I'm Rudy Max with today's Travel Minute from Rudy Max's Word with the Carries. There's a lot of information that suggests when the cheapest days to fly are. Generally, it's Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays, says the website faircompare.com. Leisure travelers want to fly Friday and return Sunday. Business travelers generally push off on Mondays. Barron says the best time to buy a ticket's on a Tuesday afternoon because airlines often raise fares on weekends, but then might drop them by Tuesday if the competition doesn't follow suit. But one travel site recently crunched hundreds of thousands of tickets for travel this summer and came up with the most expensive date to fly and the three exact cheapest dates to schedule a flight. CheapAir.com found the average price for a domestic ticket this summer is $484. The most expensive day to fly, July 9th, the Sunday after July 4th. The cheapest days, June 6th, August 22nd, September 12th. CheapAir has posted a day-to-day analysis for June through September at CheapAir.com. Just click blog at the top of the homepage, and that'll get you to those calendars. You'll find more travel info at RudyMaxa.com.
Replacing or refurbishing old, worn-out wooden floors can be expensive, so why not explore another option? Painting them. There are a few things that you need to know, though, before you do. First, protect your face and ears. Sanding floors is a noisy and dusty job. Ventilate the room before you prime and paint. To avoid having to do the entire job over again, thoroughly clean the floor after sanding. You don't want dirt ending lodged up under the paint.
Mega Disposal. Folks, they're just fantastic. Local, family-owned and operated trash recycling collection company. They've been serving Rhode Island and Massachusetts for almost two decades. If you own a small business, call Mega for all your trash and recycling collection services. They have various sizes for estate cleanouts, major construction jobs, entire households. They have a swing door to provide easy loading of materials. Mega has smaller containers for local businesses or shops that can be emptied on a weekly or maybe every other week or monthly basis. If you own a small business, call Mega for all your trash and recycling collection services. Call Mega today at 866-420-MEGA. You see their trucks and staff collecting your household trash or recycling items at curbside. Many local communities, think of that. Barrington, you see Mega Trucks. North Providence, you see Mega Trucks. East Greenwich, Mega Trucks. Pawtucket, Mega Trucks. West Warwick, Mega Trucks. Mega also has dumpster services. How about that? Small household construction projects. Clean out the garage or the basement. My mother used to say, throw it out. Mega has the dumpster, whether it's 10 cubic yards for a small yard cleaning or 15, most garage or basement cleanups. Call Mega today. But especially if you're a small business, they have smaller containers for local businesses or shops that can be emptied weekly, every other week, monthly basis. Call Mega Disposal. 866-420-MEGA. 866-420-6342.
He tells it like it is. He's John DePietro on 1540 WADK.
And we're back on this Tuesday. Good afternoon, one and all. It is Juan. It is John DePietro. Afternoons 1 to 5 now. Here I am, 18 a.m. 1540, and it's WADK. People like when I do the Here I Am, Lord. Here I am. I like people say, I found you. There you are. Here I am. Right on the right side of the dial. You've been looking. AM 1540 from 1 to 5. Here I am. You have found me. There you are. Here I am. Right down here. Hello. I'm waving from the right side of the dial. Here I am. All right, next hour we're going to speak with Dr. Finocchio regarding that poor little pug. And then we'll also speak with Mayor Fung coming up. But so many people, hey, there you are, I found you. Yes, here I am at AM 1540. All right, it's John DePietro. Then we will shut down. We'll take more of your phone calls. We'll talk to Dr. Finocchio, Mayor Fung, then your phone calls at 846-1028. Then we shut down with Crazy Time. It's all ahead. It's the John DePietro Show. It's Juan. Stay with us. Two big hours to go.